Well, hello, brothers and sisters, boys and girls. Thank you so much for joining me. My name is Matthew Minona, and you are tuning in to the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching Ministry. This ministry is brought to you and supported by the Wash and Word. The Wash and Word is our hand car washing business located in Church Hill. We're on Highway 11W, and we're there in the Powell Shopping Center. And we invite you to come by and let us wash your car. This is how we earn our money to support the ministry. And we believe that verse by verse Bible teaching is vital. It's important that teaching all of God's word is, if I said teaching all of God's word was important, that would be an understatement. It's vital. It is extremely necessary, especially in the world and the day that we live in today. So come join us here at the Wash and Word. Let us, we work hard to earn the money to support this ministry. And again, this ministry is verse by verse Bible teaching. So we're going to pick it up where we left off. If you have any questions about the business or about the ministry, we invite you to go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And there you can find out all you need about the business and about the ministry. So let's pick it up where we left off. And, so we're in 1 Corinthians, we're in chapter 10, and Paul is using Israel's history as a way of reminding that church that, listen, you've got examples, you have warnings and punishments from what your generations past have committed. He says, you can't be doing the same things that they did and expect a different result. That's like the definition of madness or insanity, is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And we left off talking about how it's okay for us to attach ourselves like a leech would. We just have to be careful who we attach ourselves to. And, you know, remember Paul said that, Paul was so confident in his inability and also confident in his relationship with Christ that he said flat out, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And so as long as we're following the examples of great leadership, great teaching, it's okay to follow those examples. But nothing works better than attaching ourselves directly to Jesus. And that's the goal of our walk, isn't it? And so Paul is going to continue here, and we'll pick it up where we left off. We're in verse 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So Paul says, therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourself what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean then that a sacrifice offered to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All right, let's stop right there, because Paul, that's a pretty heavy word Paul's laying in to them about the sacrificing and to demons, and so we were just talking about how that the goal for us as Christians is to attach ourselves to Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Do you realize that everything that you do has a spiritual implication? That is, that all of life is spiritual. And that really goes for the unbeliever as well as the believer. The only difference between that is the two is that the unbeliever doesn't realize it. And sadly, a lot of believers don't realize that all of life is spiritual. And so Paul's closing argument here is basically the same thing that we need to be focusing on in our own lives. And what is that focus? We have to ask ourselves, what part of us is still entertaining demons? You say, whoa, 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 back up there, handsome radio preacher. Oh, there's no part of my life entertaining demons. How dare you make a claim so bold as that? Listen, I know how that sounds. I know it sounds bad. Nobody wants to hear the words demon and themselves put together or attached in any way, shape, or form. But the truth is, there are a lot of things in our lives that are still attached to demons, especially in the way that Paul is referring to it here. And again, if all of life is spiritual, then we have to examine all of our life. And we have to ask ourselves, is everything that we're doing for the glory of God? Is everything, verse 31, which we haven't read yet, but it says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Is everything we do? Listen, I know this is a tough walk. This is a hard world. And it's getting harder. And the more you stand for truth, the harder it's going to be to walk this walk and to live in this world. But Paul is saying you can't have both things. You can't, how does he put it here? Verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. And friends, this is probably the biggest hindrance of the evangelical Christian church today. We are, by and large, not sold out to Christ. Now, a lot of us are. Some of us have gotten to that place. I know I'm not there. And if you're honest, you're probably not there either. Where we have forsaken all for the sake of the glory of God, for the sake of the glory of the gospel. And isn't that what Jesus said? He said, he who puts his hands to the plow and looks back is not fit, not worthy of my kingdom. How many things are we looking back to? How many things are we holding on to with one hand? How many of those secret areas of our life are stuffed into a closet for the Lord not to see? Or so we think. You know, I had an idea for ministry a while ago. It turns out I wasn't the only one, but I was going to call it New Wineskins Ministry. And this, of course, taken from Matthew chapter 9, where Jesus talks about pouring new wine into an old wineskin and the futility of that, because of course the old wineskin would burst and the new wine would fall out. And you know, this was the foundation of a ministry that was going to be based on denying ourselves. Like, you know, we all know the scriptures. We all understand the goal. We know what God wants from us, yet we still hold on to so many of the things that we find pleasurable, that we deem important, when God looks at them and says, that's nothing but filthy rags. You see, we want God's blessing. We want the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. We want to be used by God. We proclaim all these things with right motives, but then we wonder why it's not happening. Is it possible that the reason it isn't happening is because we are not preparing our vessels for the blessings of God? We are not preparing ourselves for the new wine that God wants to pour out? And I sometimes wonder how much blessing and power and ministry and opportunity to glorify God I miss out on because I am not properly prepared to receive the fullness of God, the fullness of the Spirit. It is one of the biggest lies out there is the prosperity gospel, that God and Jesus are in the business of blessing you. You know, Joel Osteen is one of the biggest offenders of this mentality. And they call it a prosperity gospel for a reason. And the problem with with the prosperity gospel, the way it is preached today, is that the prosperity gospel is true. And by that I mean God does want to prosper us. God does want to shower us with blessings. He does want to give us opportunities to work and to serve Him, to earn our crowns to lay at Jesus' feet. But the problem is that's just part of it. In order to receive the prosperity part of the gospel, we have to be willing to receive the chastising part, the self-denial part, the discipline part. In order for God to bless us and to lavish us with the things He wants to do, He says elsewhere in Scripture that God wants to bless us and lavish us with gifts, just as a father wants to bless their own children. But unlike many who are proclaiming this prosperity gospel, the rewards and the blessings of God are not unconditional. The love of God is the only thing that is unconditional that He has for us. Even the forgiveness has conditions attached to it. Of course, that being confession and repentance. And God's patience can run out. His faith or His trust in us can cease, but His love never ends. And I venture to say that every person that ever has gone to hell does so as a tear runs down the Lord's face. So certainly His blessings are not unconditional. And that new wineskin is simply the act of preparing one's hearts, preparing one's mind, and preparing your actions and motives to be able to receive all that God has and desires to pour out to you. And so let's read the rest of this chapter as Paul continues in chapter 10. Look at verse 23. Paul says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If some unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions of conscience. But if anyone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the man who told you and for conscience sakes. The other man's conscience, that is, not yours. For why should my freedom be judged by another's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jew, Greek, or the church of God. Even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Well, that's the end of chapter 10. But, you know, we've talked extensively about the everything is permissible scripture. If you have any, if you ever want to, like, listen to some older messages or go back and hear something, go to the washandword.com website. Click on the media tab, and we have all of our messages there. They're archived, and you can download them and share them and listen to them for free, of course. But, you know, what Paul is saying here is that as Christians, we are free to do whatever it is we want to do. But also, as Christians, what is it we truly want to do? And that's why he ends by saying, you know, whatever it is you do, you know, whether you eat or whether you drink, whatever it is you do, whether you're having fun or going out or you're working, wherever you are, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. You know, that's our motto scripture here at the Wash and Word. We wash cars for the glory of God. You say, well, how is that possible? Well, simply by giving these scriptures and these verse-by-verse Bible teachings out. We're doing it for the glory of God. We do a really good job because we know that every car we do is a reflection of God's glory for what we are doing for Him. And so let us analyze our lives today. Let's get rid of the things that we know are holding us back. Let's surrender it all to the Lord, and let's look with anticipation what He has for us. Well, that's it for today. Join me again tomorrow. And don't forget, on Sunday nights at 6 p.m., I teach live verse-by-verse Bible teaching at Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road. Have a blessed day.